from James chapter 3. And let's see, I'll begin at verse 13, Pastor Jason. And this is with a heading, Two Kinds of Wisdom. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, in deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Oh, stay with us, everyone. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, April 30th, 2021, the last day of April. Jason, where's it gone?
You and I don't know.
Oh, hey, before we get into this great book of James, and thank you, Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet for being available all these Fridays and dividing God's Word. It's always an encouragement to me because we're studying God's Word. We're looking at the inspired Scripture. Scriptures that will let us understand who God is, how God is, his love for us, who is Jesus. It's practical. It's an instruction manual for godly living. It's a love letter for us to understand God's love for us and how we should love others. It's the book that we should value and read and understand and memorize and think about and talk about with friends. And you avail yourself each and every Friday to be a part of Mark and Friends, and so I thank you for that, and I thank you for your diligence in preparing and seeking after God to share with our listeners nuggets of truth or insights, and sometimes you even feel led of the Holy Spirit to share something that you didn't even plan to share, so I appreciate that you pray up the program as we do each and every time. And so in just a minute, we'll be looking at portions of chapter 3. But I have to do a bit of a shout-out because today's the last day of share at the WLUJ studios in Springfield. I'll be there in a few hours. But yesterday I was there late afternoon into the evening and met with a lot of great volunteers. I recorded a few different people and just celebrated people calling in, making pledges, giving resources for a dedicated day, businesses, individuals, families. And so it was great. And I met a couple different super volunteers and then some other people that came in and gave gifts. But one guy, Rich Siverson, I was saying, sometime, Rich, I have to have you on a testimony Tuesday, as he came in and was sharing some of his stories. And I said, sit down and share a little of your life story. And he talked about his sons and how God has been at work in his life. And so he was a blessing to me. And then Carol Diedrichson, she's been a longtime volunteer, and she was there to help and assist. And so I said, hey, let's do a little radio spot. So I got one from her. And then Juanita Morris, she's kind of like, with all the phone people answering phones, then they have like a sergeant at arms, or I forget what her title is. She's like the floor person that walks and talks to the phone people and gets the pledges or the donations, and floor manager is maybe what she is. So she was great and appreciate her. And actually today, anyone that calls in from basically now through the end of share, I think 6 p.m. tonight, because of Amanda at the Texas Roadhouse in Springfield, but this Texas Roadhouse appetizer coupon is good at any Texas Roadhouse, but you get a free, it's either the onion blossom or that fried pickle or something. Anyways, everyone who calls in and makes a donation gets a free Texas Roadhouse appetizer coupon. And so we appreciate Amanda and the Texas Roadhouse. And then Joyce Mankey, who's the office manager, she was busily working. I talked with her for a while. And Bernie Lutchman was answering the phones and assisting. And then obviously staff there, John Swinford and Joey Kroll, doing a great job with the share. And then Steve Hiller, who's a longtime veteran of the Moody Broadcasting Network, he was up from the Nashville Moody station and sharing, and excellent, gifted, great guy, and really motivated to help people recognize that their donations help support a radio ministry that lifts high the name of Jesus 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And so he was just fantastic to have a part of things. And he'll be on today again with he and Joey closing out the evening and John in the middle. And so it's a great team. And all the volunteers working together. So it was fun to be a part of that yesterday. And then I'm looking forward to Monday and Tuesday. On Monday, I'm going to have Bethany Hager, and she's the executive director of the Help Ministries, Inc. It's like a woman's care clinic in Danville, and they're having their Celebration of Life banquet on Thursday, May 6th. Very similar to what Greta Henry used to do for the greater Champaign-Urbana area, but I'll have her interviewed on Monday to talk about the great work they're doing in Danville. And then their speaker that's coming in on Thursday, May 6th, is Jonathan Evans, Tony Evans' son, who I heard all sorts of great reports on, does that man preach? And he's passionate about the Lord Jesus, and I guess he's the chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys, and what do they call it, like a chip off the old block. He's very much like Tony Evans, but some say he might even be a better preacher. And have you ever heard of Jonathan Evans or heard him preach?
Never, huh?
In fact, John Swinford said, if he had a radio program, I'd carry it in a heartbeat. The guy's that dynamic and passionate about the Lord. But I'll have him on for Testimony Tuesday, so I'm working that all out. So that's a little sneak preview of next week. But if you're a part of the WLUJ family of stations and you've been blessed by that ministry these many, many years, then today's a great day to call in now through 6 p.m. tonight as we're continuing to raise $77,000 in new monies, hoping that those that have always given on a monthly basis or an ongoing basis will continue to give. And the $77,000 will set us up through the end of the year to be able to pay all of our bills and keep us broadcasting that good news message of Jesus through the WLUJ family of stations. So the share continues, and call and be a part of that miracle work of God. So here we are, loving to do what we do on Fridays, and let's look at Scripture and talk about it, divide it, find points of application, and we're looking at James chapter 3, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every kind of evil practice.
Yeah, we talked about last week, didn't we, that you know, James begins by asking this question. He says, who is wise and understanding amongst you? And immediately if somebody steps forward and goes, me, then James goes, yeah, okay, so you're one of the problems. See, his question actually uncovers the problem because as you're reading from the NIV, I'm looking at the English Standard Version here. The English Standard Version says the meekness of wisdom. And we talked about last week what meekness is. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is actually strength. It's being teachable. It's being learnable. It's being humble. I love how the NIV says humility of wisdom, because humility of wisdom means not seeking my own wisdom, but laying aside my own wisdom for greater wisdom. And that wisdom is the wisdom that comes from above. The heading of this passage in James chapter 3 tells us exactly what the passage is about, the wisdom that comes from above. So James, like a good preacher, he asks a question that immediately points out the problem. You know, who is wise amongst you? And I like to call these, when I was in school, we would call these if-then statements. If this is happening, then this is true. So if you have wise understanding, which means understanding that comes from above, not earthly understanding, not earthly wisdom, then we will see the meekness of your good conduct. We'll see good conduct. But then it says in verse 14, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, then we will see boastfulness. We will see you actually not living to the truth or living out the truth. You'll be living in a shadow of the truth, a false kind of version of the truth. And so James says, listen, if this is what you are, then we're going to know it. It's going to come out in a while. You know, and Jesus said at one point in the Gospels, he said, listen, what is in the heart will eventually come out the mouth. And so I like to tell people, let people talk, because you'll figure out at a certain point the script that they have that they're used to kind of giving and sharing will run out, and then you'll be able to actually hear what's in their heart. And when you hear what's in their heart, you might find that it's hypocritical to what they're saying. Because when the crowd that James is addressing here, these guys would say, you know, Yeah, I'm totally wise. I have great understanding. In fact, yep, I'm a super Christian. I'm super religious. I go to church 5 times on Sunday and attend every Bible study during the week. I don't just attend potlucks. I have my own crock pot. And so James is saying, yeah, you know, that's really good. It looks really good. But as I'm watching their conduct, I'm beginning to see that there are some problems, that there are some issues. And he says, you know, this is not wisdom that comes down from above, but it's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic. Earthly meaning that its origin is earthly. Its origin is you. You become the arbiter of your own truth. Unspiritual because you're not being led by the Holy Spirit. Instead, you're being led by your own inclinations, desires, and what is in your own heart. And ultimately, all of that is demonic because it makes you believe your own press. You believe that you've got the answers, that you've got it right, that you know what's right, and you don't have to ask the Spirit to lead you in righteousness because you feel righteous already. By the way, the righteousness that I'm talking about that this person feels, it's self-righteousness. It's not real righteousness. It's not the kind of imputed righteousness that comes to us by the Spirit from Jesus Christ. By the way, he says in verse 18, a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You know, and I have a lot of people I know who are like, you know, well, you know what I mean? My job is to come with the truth, and if the truth upsets you, well, that's just too bad. I'm like, wow, you know, that's really interesting because the scripture says that we're to make peace, to sow peace, to be those who are peacemakers, not those who sow division. In fact, the Bible says to have nothing to do with the divisive person, the person who continually seeks to stir up trouble. We're called to stir people up towards love and towards good works, not stir people up towards trouble. And so those are two different things. By the way, that's why it says that it's earthly, it's unspiritual, and it's demonic, because when you do those things, when you're divisive, when you come, you know, and you're just like, well, I'm just about the truth, and I don't care if it upsets people, the devil goes, I love that. Yeah. He goes, I love that because, you know, I can use that to sow disunity, to sow discontent, to create antagonism, to create condemnation and shame. You're working for me, not for the Spirit. And so we have to be very, very careful. Our wisdom needs to come from above. Jesus himself said to seek first what? Not yourself, not Google, to seek first the kingdom of God and whose righteousness? His righteousness. To seek first God and his wisdom. Now, all of this to say, it makes me think of a statement that I hear all the time from folks. And they say the statement that we're called to live in the world, but not of the world. As Christians, we're called to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, what's interesting is there is this is one of those kinds of statements that we've picked up along the way, but it's not in the Bible. It's not anywhere in the Bible. Now, James 4:4 does say that the followers of Jesus are supposed to avoid developing friendships with the world. In fact, they say that being a friend of the world is enmity or makes you an enemy of God. Now, why does it do that? Because you seek the world's way, because you seek the applause of the world and you seek to give glory to the world, not the applause of one God and seeking his way and giving him all the glory. In fact, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 says, do not love the world or the things of the world. John's not saying that you're not supposed to enjoy some of the things that are in the world, because God did create the world and God did look at it and say it was good, and sin has marred it. But there are still things that are in the world that God has created. But the problem with loving the world is that it's so easy to begin to see something and go, I love it, and lose sight of the one who created it. You know, and so a great example of this is very simple. We all can understand this. When you get a slice of chocolate cake and you finish that slice of chocolate cake, you don't lean back in your chair and you don't go, thank you, Lord, for creating that chocolate cake and satisfying my desire with this wonderful thing you created. Instead, we go, I wonder if I can have another piece.
Yes.
I wonder if anybody would notice if I ate all of this cake. It really is immediately where a lot of our minds go to. Or maybe it's chocolate chip cookies or whatever it is, whatever that kind of thing is, that when you have one, you go, you know what? I could eat all of this. Instead of pausing and taking time to thank God who created that thing that gave you such joy. The Bible says to taste and to see that the Lord is good. And so that these things within the world that give us great joy or give us great pleasure, they're meant to lead us to God, to lead us to God, because he is the source of all that is good. That is why we need to seek his wisdom, because he is the source of all good things. So what does it mean to live in the world but not of it? See, listen, I don't think that we can evade the fact that we physically live in the world. When people say we're called to live in the world but not of it, I go, yeah, well, that's really great, but we are in the world, right?
Yeah.
We can't divorce ourselves from that truth. And if we do, we'll be, what do they say, so spiritually minded that we're not any earthly good.
Yeah.
And so we live in the world. We're physically here. Our feet are planted on the world. And so what does that mean? This is exactly what James is talking about in this passage, is how do we live in the world as Christians? Well, we live in the world by not embracing its beliefs or its values above what God calls us to believe and to value, which means that constantly as we live in the world, we're called to continually swear our allegiance or give our allegiance to this kingdom that never ends by continually seeking it first and its righteousness. And this is something that I think is all of us as Christians, maybe we struggle with, is that when things come onto our plate or things come into our lives, do we immediately go and seek God in those things? Or do we go, you know, I already know how to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
I already know what the world says, how I should handle this or what I should do. And we don't go to God and to ask God how we're to live. We don't seek his wisdom, his perfect wisdom. Instead, we go on our track record of past wisdom, past decisions, or we embrace whatever it is that the world would call us to do in that situation, whatever is, what do we call it, politically correct. And so we have to be very careful about those things, because it's only by God's grace and by his power is our situations and people transformed. And so we need to seek his wisdom, because his wisdom transforms situations. I don't know about you, Mark, but I have like a laundry list of situations that I've been in where I have followed God. And I have a laundry list of situations, first of all, where I could feel the Spirit's prodding and I didn't do it.
Hmm.
Maybe it felt awkward. Maybe I didn't quite understand what I was supposed to do. Or I just was like, oh, Lord, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they'll laugh at me if I do that. Maybe they'll call me names if I do that. Maybe they'll look at me sideways if I do that. You know, all these guys are talking about politics, and I want to talk about you, but I don't know if I bring you up. Maybe all of a sudden all these people will look at me like I'm some kind of freak. So I have a list of those kinds of things, unfortunately, because I think we all do it. If we're human, we need to admit we do. But I also have another list, a really crazy list, where I actually listened to the Spirit. I stepped out when the Spirit told me to do something, and it seemed really kind of nutty and really kind of crazy. And in that moment, something beautiful happened.
Mm-hmm.
Something absolutely unexpected happened. Why? Because God sees the beginning from the end. He sees all things all at once. Mm-hmm. And he understands what's happening in this moment and what's happening in the world in a way that I don't understand it. I can remember being at the grocery store one time, and I just felt the Holy Spirit prod me to just ask somebody to just say, hey, how are you doing today? And I don't even know this person, but I just remember, like, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was prodding me to do that. So I just said, hey, have a great day. I hope you're doing good. And the woman looked back at me and she goes, wow, thank you. I'm not doing good at all today. This has been a horrible day. And so I paid for my, like, groceries, which isn't too hard. You just, you know, put your card in and it all works out. But then as I was walking out, I'm like, well, tell me what's going on. And she's like, I just feel so discouraged in my life. And I said, well, you know what? I just want to encourage you that we all go through really difficult seasons, but that God is with you. And she said, the last word she said to me when she walked away, she said, I feel so different now than I did before I met you. And I could have easily in that moment been like, well, you know, Lord, if I ask her how she's doing, if I, she's just going to look at me strange. Like, I'm one of those weird people. Like, what are you doing? Like, just pay attention to your own thing, you know, but instead you step out and you follow God. And when you do, you follow his wisdom, beautiful things happen. Because by his grace, he transforms situations. You know, what does Paul say in Romans 12:2? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And so we're transformed by the fact that we follow God, that we seek God. I think it was Scott Sauls. He's a pastor. I forget where. But he said, we always live with the integrity of conviction that we are a part of a kingdom within a nation. And we never give up our allegiance to that kingdom for the sake of the nation, because the kingdom is where all the power is. And that power is the power that Jesus displayed on the cross, that sin and death no longer have the same kind of voice in people's lives, and that we live to that power. And to prove that, God has given us his Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, and so that we need to listen to that Spirit and not try and quench the Spirit, not try and quench the Spirit's fire, but instead to listen to the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to sow, as James says here, a harvest of righteousness. That means wherever you go, you're planting seeds and faithfully understanding and knowing and trusting that God will water those seeds, that there will be a harvest of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. That sounds like good news to me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that gets an amen and a case in point. Another option or avenue or thought that I have along your same lines is we also have a tendency to gripe, to moan, to grumble, this party or whatever it is. And Holly, my wife, has really challenged me the last few days, and I've shared this with a few other friends. But instead of getting consumed by all the media and I'm so angry about this and getting flared up all over it and maybe antagonistic or wired or, griping, Holly said, let's just stop and pray. So whatever the issue is, if it's an individual, well, let's just pray for that person. Or if it's a vote or a policy or whatever, a decision that's made, hey, let's pray over that. And so she's really held my feet to the fire. It's like, let's stop the griping. Let's just pray right there and then. And so I've shared that with a few other people to say, as soon as we get fired up over something, let's just stop and pray over that. And it really changes your temperament, your disposition, your focus. And so I hope I become a little more like that instead of just griping. And, we all have that tendency. So just stop and pray over it. And then especially if somebody else initiates it, you can just stop them in their tracks. Okay, you're upset about this? Let's just pray about it now. And really, it disarms them, because what are they going to do with that? It's hard to keep griping when, hey, let's just pray right now. So that's my offering for everyone today and for this weekend. Before you get caught up in whatever is maybe angering you, stop and pray right there and then, and it'll transform the situation. It'll transform you. It'll probably bring peace to the other person that's maybe, pretty fired up. So, the book of James, always points of application, great insights. It's God's word. It's living. It's active. And I hope you're attending a church this Sunday and participating in a good Bible-believing fellowship that holds on to God's word, that gleans truth from it, because it points to God. It reveals who the Savior is, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it provides hope for all eternity. So it's a great book. It's God's book. It's the inspired scriptures, and we love to proclaim it on Friday with Pastor Jason Schiffo, and all week long, hopefully, with all the hosts and the Bible teachers and the devotional thoughts. So keep listening. Listen all week long, and we appreciate you being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.